Morning. Today's daf in Chulin Kuf Yud Ches. We're starting today the new parak of the Masech, the ninth parak of Chulin, ninth parak in the Mishnayos. As we begin the ninth parak of the Mishnayos this morning, you're going to realize that we're going to be leaving the world of Halach L'maisa, and we're going to be entering into the world of Tumah Tahara. Now, it makes sense, meaning as we're talking about an animal, so one of the halachas regarding an animal is that an animal is two things. An animal, if died without the proper shechita, the animal is a nevela. Nevela is an avatumah, it's a source of tumah. Even if the animal died with the proper shechita, and the animal is now, no longer nevela, but still the animal now is edible, it's a food. And so therefore it is susceptible to tumah through what's called tumas ochlin. And so there's a lot to speak about regarding the tumah tahara of an animal. And so our mesechta dedicates one parak to this discussion. And that is the ninth parak. The ninth parak is going to bring us into the world of tumah tahara. For those of you who enjoy the discussion of tumah tahara, you're going to love this parak. And for the rest of us, so we're going to come to love it. Meaning that time and again, as we go through tumah tahara more and more, so we're going to gain a better appreciation for it. And the more we understand it, the more we appreciate it, the more it's going to really speak to us and resonate with us. Right. And that, well, I was going to say, well, it's going to be over quickly. Well, that part's not perfectly true. Right. Next parak begins on Kuf Lamed. So, but stay with us. Stay with us in the world of Tumah Tahara. To the best of my ability, I will try to be clear and present as clearly as possible. Admittedly, today does not start off as simple as I would like it to be. But nevertheless, we'll try to navigate through the Gemara to the best of my ability. A lot of words of introduction before we begin the parak inside. Okay, first and foremost, again, let's be clear about this idea of Tumas Nevela versus Tumas Ochlin. Tumas Nevela is the following. An animal dies without the benefit of a shechita. The animal is a source of tumah. It is now generating the tumah. The tumah is coming from the animal. And if you are coming into contact with just a kezias of the meat of that animal, you, a person, is going to become tameh. Now, generally speaking, in order for something to be metameh adam v'kelim, it has to be an avatumah. A nevela is an avatumah. And so, therefore, it can be metameh adam v'kelim. So if a person comes into contact with the nevela, that person is going to become tameh. If a kli is going to come into contact with nevela, it will become tameh. And it only needs to come into contact with a kezias of the nevela. Tumas nevela can be transmitted in one of two ways. Either one, maga, physical contact, or two, masa, by simply you carrying or lifting up the piece of nevela. So if you pick up a piece of nevela, even if you didn't physically touch it, right? It's on a platter, it's on a table, and you just simply lifted it up. Nevertheless, that's going to be a transmission of the tumah. You are going to become tummy. Huh? No, that's it. That's it. Mago masa. Those are the only two ways that a nevela is going to become tummy. Is going to make something else tummy. Okay, so that is tumas nevela. And again, the shear for tumas nevela, I know I mentioned it, but let's just keep repeating. The shear of tumas nevela is a kezias of basar. And it specifically has to be basar. Meaning the nevela that is going to transmit the tumah has to be the flesh of the animal. Bones are not going to be metame bin nevela. In other words, the bones of an animal do not have the status of tumas nevela. Or any of the inedible parts of the animal are not going to have the status of tumas nevela. It has to be an edible portion of the animal. Okay, that's nevela. Now let's talk about tumas ochlin. Tumas ochlin is that food. Food is now going to be become tameh, and once tameh, be able to transmit it to other foods. Now, of course, there is an entire sequence of events in terms of a rishon, a sheni, a shlishi, a revi. I'm not going to go through all that right now. But suffice to say that food can both become tameh and transmit the tumah to others, given that the circumstances are right. Now, the shear for food in order for it to become tameh, so that is not clear. For the food to become tummy. There are a number of Rashis throughout Shas that give the indication that it has to be the size of a kibetza. There are no clear indications of the Gemara that the shear of the size of a food to become tummy has to be a kibetza, meaning any amount of food is going to become tummy. That seems to be the Gemara's position. Again, it's not really clear. But many Rishonim, including the Rambam, are of the opinion that for food to become tameh, it doesn't have to be any shear. Okay. What about transmitting the tumah from one food to another? This is where it gets clear. for transmission of tumah from one food to another, the food that is transmitting the tumah has to be the size of a kibetza, the volume of an egg. If it's less than the volume of an egg, it is not going to be able to transmit tumah from it to something else. Okay. Now, as we all know, but I'll just simply state it on the front end because we all know this, in order for food to either receive tumah, and of course to transmit tumah afterwards, it has to first become mukhshar lekabel tumah. Hakshar tumah means that it has to first come into contact with any one of the seven liquids. Once it comes into contact with the seven liquids, it's now mukhshar lekabel tumah. Now it is prepared to receive tumah. It's eligible to become tameh, and then and only then is it going to become tameh. If I took a food that was not mukhshar lekabel tumah and I came into contact with a source of tumah, it does not become tameh. It is like if the food is not mukhshar lekabel tumah, it's like an unfinished kli. This description I'm giving right now, we're actually going to see in today's daf. The Gemara is going to make this comparison. Food that didn't come into contact with a liquid is like a kli that's just simply unfinished. It's an unfinished product and therefore not susceptible to tumah. Okay. Tumas ochlin is not a self-generated tumah, meaning it is only when the food comes into contact with a source of tumah. Now, being that it's a food, it doesn't have to be a source of tumah. It can even be a rishon l'tumah. The food itself is going to become tameh, but the food itself is not a self-generated tumah. It only is when it becomes tameh from something else and then transmits the tumah to another item. Okay, that is part one of the introduction. Part two. Part two of the introduction now, we talk about conductors of tumah. Okay, and again, tumah is not electricity. It's not. But electricity is just such a wonderful way to think about tumah. In that when I talk about an electric current, so what basically if I want to send the current from one point to another point, so basically you get something which is a conductor that's able to conduct that energy, that electricity, and it's able to take it and move it from one point to another. And so in our discussion of tumas ochlin, so there really are two different ways of the tumah being conducted. Now, if it comes into contact with the food itself, so in other words, the food now is becoming susceptible to tumah. However, there are two ways in which the tumah can transmit to the food. And when I say to the food, I also mean and from the food to something else, to outside, to another food. And that is either a yad or a shomer. Let's start with a yad. A yad is basically a handle. Okay, if you think about the grapes, so grapes are really easy to think about. So what would be the yad of the grapes? So it would be the stem. The stem that I basically pick up the grapes with the stem. And now that stem is serving for a means in which I handle the grapes. I talk about a piece of meat. So if I'm going to be taking a drumstick, so what am I going to do? I'm going to pick up the bone. The bone now is a handle. It literally is a way in which I handle the food. So what is the halacha regarding a yad? A yad is machnis umotzi, terms that you're going to hear time and again in the course of this morning's shiur. It's able to be the conductor of tumah both into the food and out of the food. So if the food itself is let's just assume, keep everything simple, even though it's not agreed to by everybody, let's assume the food has to be kibetza in order for it to become tameh. So that means to say that if the meat is connected to a bone and I'm picking up the bone in order to hold the meat and I'm tameh and I didn't touch the meat, nevertheless that bone is going to be serving as a conductor of the tumah and the tumah is going to go from me through the bone and into the food. The food's going to become tameh. So the yad is going to be machnis umotzi es tumah. It's going to conduct the tumah into the food. An interesting part regarding the yad is that the yad itself is not viewed as the food. Now, I know that sounds like an obvious point, but what I mean by that halachically is the following. Let's say that the food on the bone is not the size of a kazais. It's just a little bit less than a kazais. But it's nevertheless connected to a bone. If I took the volume of the food and the bone, I put them together and I got to a kazais, so now we have a shear, right? And the answer is wrong. We don't have a shear. Meaning a yad is only serving as a conductor of the tumah, but it itself is not part and parcel of the food, and it cannot make a contribution towards the shear of the food. That's a yad. Now let's talk about a shomer. A shomer is anything that serves to protect the food. So peels are perhaps the best example, and one we're just going to keep revisiting again and again. So if I have a peel around a fruit, a peel around a vegetable, and it's inedible, But nevertheless, it's there to serve and protect the food. So that now has the status of a shomer. A shomer is going to be machnis umotzi, just like a yad is going to be, but more so. A shomer is also going to be making a contribution to the shear. If, let's say, the food itself is not the size of a kibbutzah, but with the shomer, it is now the size of a kibbutzah. Think of a thick orange peel. So the food inside, coupled with the shomer, is going to arrive at the shear of a kibbutzah. So then it would, in fact, become now susceptible to tumah. It's able to receive and to transmit the tumah out of it. So when you think about a yad and you think about a shomer, so a shomer is actually one better than a yad. A yad is just simply but a conductor of the tumah, and the shomer is both a conductor of the tumah and also hitzarfus, allows us to take the shomer with the food combined in order to get to the shear of a kibbutzah. Another important point before we begin the Mishnah, and that's the following. That when it comes to a yad of a nevela, now a yad of a nevela and a shomer of a nevela may not operate in the same manner. Because when we're talking about food as a nevela, when we're talking about the carcass of an animal, it is not receiving tumma. It is only sending tumma out. Meaning, remember, the tumma there is self-generated. So there, a yad and a shomer will certainly be conductors, but not necessarily be mitzarif. And again, that's something that we're also going to see a little bit later on. I think we're good. I think we have the basics down in terms of just wrapping our heads around all this. And the Mishnah starts. We are on Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, and the Mishnah is going to now give us 8 examples, meaning the klalim, so I just gave you. Although the truth of the matter is the Gemara is going to discuss it also in terms of klali, in terms of just general principles. But the Mishnah is not here to talk about general principles. The Mishnah is talking about specific examples, 8 to be specific. Ha'or va'arot va'akipa, skin and the juice. And the kippah we'll describe right now as the spices in the pot. V'ha'alal. Alal is a term that's a little bit difficult to translate. In fact, it's so difficult, Rashi says, why don't you wait to get to the Gemara before I explain what the alal is. But for our purposes right now, we could basically call them like scraps of meat. Ha'atzamos, the bones, the hagidim and the sinews, the akarnayim, the atlathim, and the hooves, the horns and the hooves, mitstarfin, latami tumas ochlin, avalola tumas nevelos. So all these things are going to be providing tziruf regarding tumas ochlin. So everything we just described, all 8 items that we described, they're basically all falling under the category of a shomer. And being that they fall under the category of a shomer, so they're mitstarif. Meaning these items, coupled with the food themselves, are going to be mitame tumas ochlin. Sorry, let me say it even clearer. Mitztaref letame tumas ochlin. They're actually going to make a positive contribution to the volume, so that this shomer, coupled with this food, is going to now be, if it arrives at the point of a kibbutzah, it is going to become tame and send tame out. Aval tumas nevelos. But it will not be mitzarif for tumas nevelos. Now again, as I explained just a moment earlier, when it comes to a nevela is a self-generated tumah of the meat of an animal that went unshechted, and therefore its shear is only going to be predicated on the meat itself. A yad, although maybe a conductor, and a shomer, although maybe a conductor of the tumah, will not contribute towards its size, towards its shear. And again, the qualitative difference is very clear. Because when it comes to a nevela, it's not that it is just simply receiving tumah or transmitting it after it received it. When it comes to a nevela, it's generating the tumah. It is the source of tumah. And to be a source of tumah, you need a kezias of the actual tumah material, which in this case is the carcass of the animal, the flesh of the animal. And so therefore, the shomer is not going to be serving as a tziruf for the shear of nevela. And just to repeat, the shear of tumah for a tumas ochlin is a kibbutzah. The shear of tumah for a nevela is a kezias. Okay. Kayotzebo. Now, in the number of examples that were given, so you have to just keep asking yourself, how are all these things a shomer? So I'll just give you an example, right? Bones are a shomer. Bones are a shomer. But the way I described it in the beginning, in other words, you're picking up the drumstick and you're eating the drumstick by holding the bone. It sounds more like a yad. It doesn't sound like a shomer. But if you look at Rashi on Atzamos, Rashi says that we're not talking about just any bones. Rashi says, Atzamos sheyesh ben moach. v'u'ochel, v'ha'etzem shomer lo, l'fichach mitzarif amo. Now, once you understand the category, so then Rashi is obvious. In other words, the bone over here is talking about where there's marrow inside. The bone is serving as a way of protecting the marrow inside. That's why in our Mishnah, the bone is a shomer. Okay. Kayotze bo, similarly, continuing in the Mishnah. Hashach be'ema temeya, la'ovi kochavim u'mifarcheses, mitami tumas ochlen, aval lo tumas nevelos, ad shetamos ad shiatiz es rosho. The Mishnah is giving us perhaps the most complicated example of understanding, seeing the difference between tumas ochlen and tumas nevela. Now, we're going to go through carefully the example over here, but before we go through it, I'll just say it very generically. The idea is that when you shecht an animal, it can come a point in time where it's actually food before it is dead. I know that sounds funny, and I'm going to explain it much better in just a moment. But the idea is that there are two different types of tumah that we are discussing. Tumas ochlin and edible food. Nevela, once it's dead without the benefit of a shechita. I can actually separate the two in one in the very same animal, where we shecht an animal and there's a scenario in which, and admittedly it's a really limited scenario, but still, there's a scenario in which we can look at it as a food prior to its death, and only when it actually is dead, then we have to look at it as a nevela. Just again, highlighting the idea that there is tumas ochlin and there's tumas nevela. Okay, now let's get a little bit lost in the weeds. What exactly is the scenario in which we're shechting an animal and it's first going to be a food and then it's going to be a nevela? Under normal circumstances, it's impossible. If I shecht an animal, it never will become a nevela. So what are we talking about over here? So Rashi really holds our hand through this case study of the Mishnah. And so let's see Rashi inside. You're going to find me in Rashi on the first very wide line of the Amud. So what we're doing is we're shechting a non-kosher animal for a goy. Okay. Rashi says there are four points to take into consideration over here. Four factors, each one of them being critical. Rashi writes, V'dafka Yisrael, I need the Jew to be the shochet. V'dafka shechita, it has to be that we're killing it through the means of shechita. V'dafka temeya, it has to be a non-kosher animal. V'dafka la'ovei kochavim, and it has to be for a goy. So why are all four of these factors necessary? Rashi goes on to say, Yisrael sheshachah behem atoma letzarech ovei kochavim v'odem mefarcheses. Now, we have the Jew shechting a non-kosher animal for a goy, and right now, there is a moment in time after shechita where there's going to be convulsion. Now, for a Jew shechting a kosher animal for another Jew, that is considered death. The point of death arrives at shechita. Shechita is the matir. You could, min ha-Torah, take the meat of the animal immediately after shechita, even while there's convulsion. Good. Fine. So we have a Jew shechting a non-kosher animal for a non-Jew. So immediately after shechita, while the animal's convulsing, v'odem mefarcheses, afagav d'lochazi lo v'kochavim, now, can the guy eat this animal yet? And the answer, of course, is no. Because for him, shechita is not a halachic marker. And so therefore, for the guy, the death only comes after convulsion has come to an end. Ad shetamos. And shechita will not be permitted until the animal is actually dead. But consider that in this specific scenario, we had the Jew shech the animal. So here, shechita now becomes significant. Meaning, if it would have been a kosher animal, the shechita would have matir the animal immediately after shechita. And so now, what the Jew can do with shechting this non-kosher animal is that he could render the animal ochlin. Now, I know that sounds funny because it's a non-kosher animal. And it goes without saying that there's no Jew who's able to eat the meat of the animal. But because the Jew is shechting it, and because shechita is significant for a Jew, so therefore he's able to render it as food. You see, Rashi points out, if a goy were to shecht it, So for him, because shechita doesn't mean anything, so shechting the animal is just the beginning of its death. But it's not dead yet. And if, let's say, the Jew weren't to shechta, but the Jew were just simply to kill it, right? Stab it, nechira, like we described so many times. So that's not significant for the Jew. Nechira doesn't mean anything for us. So if nechira were done, so what is the point of death for the animal? When it stops convulsing. And if a Jew were to shecht a kosher animal, it goes without saying that at the moment that you shecht it, it is now already rendered a food. So, follow me now. So you're having a Jew shechting a non-kosher animal for a goy. So now, between shechita and the end of convulsion, what is the status of that animal? It's food. And therefore, it's metame tumas ochlin. If any sheretz were to touch, I'm just using as an example. If any sheretz were to touch the food at that point in time, it is going to become susceptible to tumah through tumas ochlin. Yes, there's a question of, doesn't it need hechsher? I understand that. But again, just we're dealing with the conceptual that it... Okay, fine. There's a way to get there. But the idea, the conceptual, is that at this point in time now, it is ochel, and then when the animal actually dies, meaning when it stops convulsing, so then it is going to be a nevela. And it's admittedly an unusual scenario, right? A most impractical scenario, but just simply to highlight this difference of an animal could be tumas ochlin and then could become a nevela. It could happen. Back to the Mishnah. Riba l'tami tumas ochlin, mimasha riba l'tami tumas nevelos. There are just going to be many more scenarios of tumas ochlin than there are going to be tumas nevelos.
Technically, the guy could eat that behemoth while it's metaphysical.
And the answer is no, he can't. In other words, for him, it's not dead yet. Right. Right, it has the status of ochlin, meaning who can actually eat it, right? So that's a wonderful question. I don't know. Meaning, but because it's a Jew who's shechting it, because shechita for him is significant, so it's getting the status of ochlin. Even though, when push comes to shove, a Jew obviously can't eat it, it's not a kosher animal, and the guy can't eat it yet because it's not dead yet. So, right, it's a really good question, and my answer, although I know I'm right, I understand that, but in other words, for it to be tumas ochlin, that means there has to be ochel. Mm-hmm. And over here, who's eating it? Right? I'm being pushed back on who's the actual consumer. Mm-hmm. I know. I know. This is very tricky. There are more examples of tumas ochlin than there are tumas nevelos. Meaning, tumas ochlin just simply has a looser definition of what is susceptible to tumas ochlin as opposed to what's susceptible to tumas nevela. Again, it goes back to the point that we made earlier. Because nevela is a self-generated tumah, and it only is for the actual nevela itself, meaning the flesh of the animal is only going to be giving off tumas nevela. And even if I had a shomer, and even though the shomer could be a conductor of the tumah, but it cannot be mitzarev to become the actual nevela itself. So nevela is more limited. Ochlin, however, has got a wider berth in terms of what defines itself as ochlin. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ha'alal mechunas im yesh bo kezayis b'makom echad chayav alav. Rabbi Yehuda says that if I have this alal, which again, we didn't really explain, and let's wait till we get to the Gemara to really explain it, but if I have a kezayis of this alal aggregated, so then it is going to be subject to tumas nevela. Okay, and more on that later on. All right, tanin lahad detan rabbanan, the Gemara starts off with a braisa, very supporting what we learned in our Mishnah. Sharman l'tumah kala velo sharman l'tumah chamura. Meaning a shomer works for tumakala. Tumakala is another way of describing tumas ochlin. Tumakala just simply means that the food is tummy, but it's not self-generated. It receives the tumor from something else. So there's an idea of shomer that it is going to make a positive contribution to the shear for tumas kala, but not for tumachamura. Tumachamura is just another way of describing a self-generated tumor in our discussions talking about nevela. So a shomer is not going to make a contribution towards tumachamura. And again, a shomer will be the conductor of the tumah, but it will not be mitzarif, it won't be there to actually add to the shear of the nevela. If, let's say, I had less than a kezias of nevela, but it has a shomer, there's a piece of hide connected right to this, right next to this meat, so the hide will not contribute to the shear. If the amount of meat itself is less than kezias, it's not going to be an ava tuma. Shomim l'toma kala minalan. The Gemara says, and where do I know this from? D'tanya v'lintan abraisa. D'bei Rabbi Shmuel Tana. D'tanya d'bei Rabbi Shmuel. I'll call Zera Zarua. And here, what a wonderful confluence. Right? And and that is this week's Parsha and today's Daf. And a lot of what we're going to be learning this week. So, just beautiful how it lined up. Right, as if I planned it this way. So if you look in this week's Parsha and Parsha Shmini, so a lot of the halachas of Tumah Tahara are found at the tail end of this week's Parsha. Perek Yud Aleph, we're going to be citing a number of psukim in the Perek. So over here, called Zera Zarua. Pasuk Lamed Zayin. V'chi po menivla san. If part of the nevela falls on it, I'll call Zera Zarua Asher Yizareya Tarahu. So if it falls on the seed is going to be tar. Now Rashi over here notes, we're trying to teach ourselves the halacha of Shomer in that it's going to be conductor of Tumah. And on top of that, it's going to be Mitzdarif. It is a little bit strange that the Torah describes that, you know, when the nevela falls on the food, the food's going to be tar. What? Food's going to be tar? Isn't a nevela an Ava Tumah? And when it falls on food, isn't the food going to be Tameh? But Rashi over here points out, yeah, in this scenario, the food is going to be tar. You know why? Because the Torah is teaching us the halachas of machshirin, meaning because the food didn't come into contact with the liquid yet. In fact, next pasuk in the Torah, v'chi yutan mayim al zera v'nafal menivlas amalav tamehu lachem. Right. And when water falls on the seed, we're talking about edible seeds, and when water falls on the seed, and now this food is mukshel lekabel tumah, now try it. Put the nevela on the food, and now the food is going to become tameh. All right. Just simple pshat, and everything I just said, by the way, Rashi taught me. So we're good. Akol zera zera. Kiderach shebnei adam otzin lizria chita beklipasa usaor beklipasa v'adash beklipasan. Now, how do people normally take the seeds? And when we say seeds over here, better stated, kernels, meaning we're talking about food which is edible. So when we're talking about wheat, so generally speaking, how do you bring the wheat in from the field? In its shell, as you do with the barley, as you do with the lentils. Everything is born in a shell. Eventually, of course, we're going to separate the shell from the food. But nevertheless, though, how is it brought in? It's brought in with its shell. This is teaching us the halachas of shomer. That is this is the shomer l'tumah kala. Obviously, we're talking about a food. Food is not a self-generated tumah. It's not a tumah chamor, it's a tumah kala. Good. So we just learned together the drasha regarding shomer l'tumah kala. Now, how do I know that there is no concept of Shomer regarding Tumah Chamura? Now, again, when I say no concept, I mean Hitzdarfus. That a Shomer is not going to be added to the Nevela to get to the size of a Kezias. Tanu Rabbanan, same Parsha, same location. Benivlasa v'lo ba'or. Shein alav Kezias basar. The Nevela, but not the hide that does not have a kezias. Now, let's say I touch the piece of meat, but I don't touch it from the meat side, I touch it from the hide side. So I only made physical contact with the hide, and the meat's on the other side of the hide. I might have thought that I'm not going to become tameh. Torah teaches us, you are going to be tameh. By the way, next pasuk in the Torah, pasuk lamites. V'chi amos min ha-behem asher hilachem la'achla. If you touch the nevela, and what we're learning right now in our drasha is, not even the nevela, but even the hide of the nevela, but as long as they're on the other side, there's meat, so you're going to be tameh. Brisa was a little bit confusing, was it not? So my Amar, the Gemara right away jumps on this brisa we learned. Amar Rav Avarmi lekedichus remechzer v'achik tani benivlasa v'lo ba'or. Shein alav kezayis basar. V'or mashlimo lechezayis. First thing we're learning together in the Brice is the following, is that even if I have the hide and the meat, and coupled together that's the size of a kezias, no good. Meaning we do not have an avatama. Now, yachush animotzi, af or sheish lav kezias basar. And the next part of the Brice is talking about now where there is a kezias basar on the hide. And I didn't touch the actual kezias basar, I touched it from the hide side. Hanogeh keneged basar me'achrov yechol lo yeh tameh. And think about the Havamina, because the Havamina is wonderful. Meaning, in what we just established in the Brisa, is that the hide is not going to be mitzarif to get to the size of a kezias of nevela. So I therefore might have thought that since it's not going to be mitzarif, it cannot serve as a conductor of that tumah. That's what we're learning together. Meaning we can't even view it as a yad, a conductor of the tumah. So tamalam or yitma. So the yitma comes to teach me a halacha that it will be mitame as a yad, even though it's not a shomer to be mitzarif, but nevertheless it's going to be a yad. What have we learned so far? So we've learned the two drushas that teach us that when it comes to tumah kala, tumas ochlin, so a shomer is obviously going to serve as a conductor, and it's also going to be mitzarif to get us to the shir. Masha inke, when it comes to the nevela, the ava tumah, the tumah chamura, so there, the shomer, the hide around it, which is protecting it, does not work as a shomer, meaning it's not going to be mitzarif, but it would be conductor of the tumah. Tanan Hasam. The Mishnah over here brings us to the first Mishnah in Uksin. Uksin, a small mesechta tucked away at the end of Seder Taharos, teaches us many of these halachas of Yad and Shomer. In fact, what we're going to be learning this morning is the first Mishnah in Uksin. Tanan Hasam Kol Shu Yavelo Shomer Tamei Umetamei Ve'ena Mitztaref Shomer Va'afa Pishenu Yad Tamei Umetamei Umetztaref Lo Yavelo Shomer Lo Tamei Ve'lo Metamei. The rules are really simple. Three rules to take into consideration. Anything which serves as a yad, rule number one, anything that serves as a yad, so but not a shomer, so it's there to handle and facilitate the food, but it's not there to serve and protect the food. So tamei metamei, it's a conductor of tumah in both directions, in and out, and eino mitzarif. But it can't combine towards the shear. Good. Two, shomer, if I have anything serving as to protect the actual food itself, so the peel of a food, afa pi she'eno yad, even though it's not even used for handling purposes, tamei metamei u'mitzaref, it will conduct the tumah in and out of the food, and it's also going to be mitzaref to get me to the shear. And finally, lo yavelo shomer, if let's say it doesn't serve neither as a yad or as a shomer, Rashi gives a simple example. Let's say I have a hair attached to the meat, right? In other words, I didn't dehair it good enough, right? Maybe, I'm thinking, by the way, if we could just think about it like somewhat more practical terms. Let's say I have, you know, the chicken for the most part has been feathered, but I have still one feather coming out of the chicken. So there, it's not a yad. I don't pick up the meat by picking up that feather, and it's certainly not a shomer. That one feather is not going to do anything. Although, again, my example might not be great because that feather was once upon a time part of many feathers that we're covering. So I'm not sure if I love my example. But Rashi says a hair is not a yad. It's not a shomer. So ve'afa pishenu yad. I'm sorry. If it's lo yad ve'lo shomer, lo tamei ve'lo metamei. So there, forget about not making a contribution towards the shear. That goes without saying it does not. But on top of that, it's not even going to be serving as a conductor. If, let's say, the nevela was attached to a hair, or we're not talking about nevela right now, we're just talking about tumas ochlin. And let's say that there is some hair that is coming out of the food. And, right, I say hair, by the way, you know, I'm talking about some sort of strand that's coming out of the food. It's not a shomer. It's not a yad. It's not going to conduct tumah in and out of the food. Okay, adkan. That's the Mishnah in Uksin. It may, but that's not a handle. A handle has to be something where people generally use it to pick it up the food or put it down. Right? The stems of a grape. That's a yad. Everybody, when they pick up the grapes, you could pick up the grape itself, but many of us take it from the stem itself. That's a yad. Okay, good. All right. Now, from this point going forward in the daf today, so we have the rules down. Meaning, if you want to stop right now, please don't. Please continue. Right? It's all part and parcel of Limud HaTorah. But if you want to stop right now, we have the rules down. When it comes to a yad, machnas umotzi the tuma, it's not mitzaref. When it comes to a shomer, machnas umotzi umitzaref. If it's not a yad and it's not a shomer, it's nothing. Meaning it's not. It's certainly not going to be mitzaref. It's not going to be machnas umotzi. And that again, that's all regarding tumas ochlin. When we're talking about nevela, so we also learned together in this morning that when it comes to nevela, so the shomer is not going to be mitzaref for nevela. Because again, nevela is very specific. It has to be the actual flesh itself, which is generating the tumah. So it's not going to be mitzaref, but a shomer does behave like a yad, in that it's going to conduct the tumah in and out. If I touch the nevela, but not directly, but let's say by touching the hide, and the nevela is on the other side of the hide, I'm going to become tummy. Fine. Those are the rules. Those are the principles. We have them all down. What the Gemara now, what we're going to be doing is that we're going to be lifting the hood and looking under the hood and seeing the engine inside. Meaning basically what the Gemara now is going to do is take a step by step, meticulously, through all the drashas chazal that arrive us to this conclusion. Now, even before we start with the Gemara, so let's be aware of the fact that we have really three psukim that speak to this idea of yad. One pasuk, I'm going to say this outside first and then we're going to see all this inside. So one pasuk is pasuk lamed zayin. Pasuk lamed zayin, Ach mayanovor mikvemaim yatar v'nogeh benivlasam yitma. I'm sorry. Pasuk lamed zayin. If you touch the nevela of an animal, you're going to become tameh. We already went over that pasuk. That is talking about zrayim. That's talking about food. And finally, if I back up one pasuk to lamed vav. Right, v'chol asher yipol min yivlasam alav yitma, tanur v'chirayim yutat t'meim heim, u'tmeim yulachem. And that is that if I have an oven, an earthenware oven, and the nevela falls into the earthenware oven, so it's going to become tamei because it's earthenware, it's not able to be put into the mikvah, so you have to break it, and only through breaking it can you get rid of the tumah. So we really have three psukim that describe, one, the nevela, two, zerayim, and three, tanur. So we have psukim in this week's parsha describing the tumah of three different items. Now, of course, notably, they're different from one another. The zerayim is food. The nevela, that's the carcass of an animal that went unshechted. And the tanur, obviously, is an oven. Now, two of these items are only receiving the tuma. One of the items is actually the generator of this tuma. It's an avatuma. Okay. With all that stated, now let's go through the Gemara side. Yados hechaksiva. We're on Kufir Chesamad Aleph. We are three lines down after lines become wide, and the Gemara wants to know, where do I see Yados mentioned in the Torah? So the Gemara darshan's one pasuk where it says tamehu lachem. Now, the word lachem, that's code for yad. Lachem l'chol shebitzarcheichem. Anything that is not only the food, but helps me facilitate the food. Meaning, when I want to pick up the food, and I have something that I can handle the food without actually touching the food, otherwise known as the yad, that's lachem. Lachem l'chol shebitzarcheichem. L'rabas es yados. That's a ribui that comes to include a yad. Uksi v'chiyam was menabeyem asher hi lachem. And we have another pasuk regarding nevela. Again, with the word lachem, again, including a yad. Yad lahaknes, yad lahotzi. So, why do I need two drashas? Because we're going in two directions. One is to bring the tumah in, and another is to bring it, to take the tumah out. Shomer lahaknes lahotzi lotzar krami kavachomer miyad ase. As far as the shomer is concerned, a shomer is much better. It is a much stronger conductor of tuma. Why? Umaya she'eno migina machnes motzia shomer lo kol shekein. Consider. What does the yad do towards the food? Not a whole lot. It only allows me to handle the food. It doesn't actually protect the food. It's not serving the food. If a yad can be a conductor of tuma in both directions, it certainly goes without saying that a shomer, which is actually there to serve the food, is going to be a conductor of the tuma. So I don't need a drusha for shomer. Once we've established that yad is a conductor, machnas amotzi, it goes without saying the same thing is going to be true regarding a shomer. Shomer dekasar rechman alamali, shma min letzarev. The idea that we have a drusha for a shomer, and where was the drusha for a shomer? So go back to the what we learned earlier this morning. That goes back to the debate, Rabbi Yishmael. Akol zera zarua kederek shabnei adam motzi on lezria. Chita beklipasa, saora beklipasa, adashim beklipasan. So we have a drusha for shomer. So consider. A shomer as a conductor, I know that already. I know it from Yad. We have two drushas for Yad. Now that I have a drusha for shomer, it must be that the drusha for shomer is telling me something else. Something additional. What is it coming to teach me? It's darfus. That not only is it a conductor, but it's actually going to be considered part and parcel of the food to get to the shear of a kibetza. Ve'ema. And here we begin. Where the Gemara now is going to really push back. Meaning, we have the drushas, we know the conclusion. And the Gemara now is going to go through a series of various suggestions of perhaps we could look at the psukim in different ways, arriving at different conclusions. How do we know that this is the definitive conclusion of all the drushas? So stay with me as I will try to present this clearly. Ve'ema, yad lahachnas v'lo lahotzi. Perhaps the drusha of yad is telling me that the tuma can go into the food, but not out. Shomer lahachnas. The drusha regarding shomer is there to tell me that the tuma can go in, ulahotzi, and to go out. Ava yad lahotzi v'shomer l'tzarif lo. But vis-a-vis, a yad sending the tuma out of the food, a shomer, to be mitzarif, maybe we would not go that far to say. So we have three drushas. We have one regarding nevela, we have one regarding zrayim, we have one regarding tanor, and what the Gemara now is saying is, look, let's be a minimalist. Let us just say the base amount that we could possibly say. One drusha is to tell me about a yad being machnis, a second drusha is there to tell me that a shomer could be machnis, and the third drusha to tell me that a shomer can be motzi. But that's it. The Gemara says no. Yad lachnas v'lo lahotzi lamatzis amart. Hashta iyule ma'alya afuki mebaye. The Gemara says, which do you think is more difficult? Sending tuma in or having tuma come out? Interestingly, the Gemara says that if tuma can come in, for sure tuma can go out. The introduction of tuma is a much stronger chiddush than having tuma go from one food to another food. Ve'ema yad lahotzi v'lo lahachnis, shomer lahotzi lahachnis. Ava yad lahachnis v'shomer letzarif lo. So the Gemara says, okay, so I'll just, fine. So I'm going to flip around what I originally suggested, and I'll just simply say that the yad drasha is there to tell me that the tuma can go out, but not that it can come in. And the shomer drasha... Wait, just one second. Shomer drasha is to tell me that it's going to go out, not to come in. And as far as a yad being machnis and a shomer being mitzarif, so we're not going to go there so far to say. So yad yaserik sif. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we have an additional yad. What is that? Tanor vikiraim yutats. Lachem l'chosha b'tzarchechem l'rabos asayados. Oh, so the Gemara now at this point in time realizes, but we do have a drasha regarding an oven and the word lachem. And again, lachem means anything that is using to facilitate its handling, otherwise known as a handle. So, Haiminayu Miyasir. So basically we have Lachem on three occasions by Yad. We have it by Nevela, we have it by Zrayim, and we have it by Tanur. Now, three drushes for Yad. Any of them superfluous? The Gemara now goes through. Lichtov Rechman b'Zrayim v'leisu hanach minayu. Why don't we have the Torah just introduce Yad by Zrayim, by food? That's enough, right? Mal Zrayim shikain tum asa meruba. The Gemara says, really, food? So many ways in which a food's tuma is going to be greater than that of any other tuma, of nevela, of anything else. Because again, food has a more broader definition. It doesn't have to be the actual food itself. It could be something that serves the food. And all the examples that we gave back in the Mishnah. So, lichtav rechmanah betanav leisanach minay. Okay. So, have the Torah teach us the halacha of yad when it comes to an oven. So, malatanu shekeim etameh me'aviro. Gemara says, no, because I can't learn anything from an oven. An oven has a very unique halacha. It's going to become tameh just by having the tumah being in the interior airspace of the oven. You don't have that halacha by food. You don't have that halacha by nevela. So, lichtav rechmanah benevela veleisanach minah. Have the Torah teach us the halacha of Yar when it comes to nevela. Mala nevela shekain mitame adam umitame bemasa v'tumah yotzei megufa. The Gemara says, I of course cannot learn anything out from nevela. Nevela is an avatuma. Nevela is mitame adam v'kelim. Nevela is going to be transmitted through even just carrying it. Nevela tumah yotzei megufa. It's a self-generated tumah. So chana mechana lo asya tesei chana mitarte. So fine. So I cannot learn out the halachas of yados from any one by themselves. How about the combination? Right? Again, second day in a row. Right? The binyan of mishnei k'suvim. So the Gemara says, hi, tesi. Lo lichtav rechmanah bizrayim v'tesi mihanach. So the Gemara says, well, maybe. Let's not learn it out from... the Torah didn't need to say it by food. And we will learn it out from a combination of oven and nevela. So malah hanach shekem etamim shalom behechsher. Tomei zayin shem etamim ela behechsher. Wait 1 second. An oven... And nevela does not require hechsher. Food does require hechsher. I'm Rav Huna, Bereid Rav Yeshua, Perish Lo Huchshur, Ketana Shlo Nigmar, Malachto Dami. And Rav Huna says, no, that's your pircha over here is not a good pircha. Do you know what food that has not yet undergone hechsher is like? It's like an oven that's unfinished. Here the Gemara says it beferish. Right? You ever wonder, why does food need hechsher? To finish the product. The Gemara on Chul and Kuf Yud Ches says it as clear as day. The whole idea of Hechsher is that it creates a finished product. So, the comparison is a great comparison. Food that has not undergone Hechsher is like an oven that's just simply not finished. So, Ela Parachachi. So, that's not a good Pircha. What is a good Pircha? Malanach Shekem Etamim Shelo Benegia. Tomer Bizroim Sheim Etamim Ela Benegia. Ah, so the Gemara says, but here is a good Pircha. Nevela communicates tuma, and you don't even have to make physical contact. Masa, carrying it. An oven transmits tuma, and you don't even have to touch it. Airspace in the oven. Food has to be negiyah. Okay. So So the Gemara says, well, the Torah didn't have to say it by tanur, and it could learn it from the other two. Malahanach shekein ochel. You're going to learn it from food and nevela. Food and nevela are edible. Oven, of course, is inedible. So lo lichtav rechmanah benevela v'tesei mehanach. All right, so why don't we leave out nevela and learn it from food and oven? So yad de nevela lamali. Oh, so here it's good. So now, through a combination of the yad we learned by zrayim and the yad we learned by tanur, which both of them are now, can serve as our source halacha of yados, the Torah then wouldn't need to teach us anything regarding nevela. And basically, the common denominator, we have all of our bases covered. It's all the chumras of one are not found in the other. And so therefore we have it. And not only do we have it, but now the yad of nevela serves as extra. Im eino inyan liyad nevela, taneo inyan liyad da'ama, yad lahachnis yad lahotzi, shom letzareif. So that now comes to teach us that. Regarding yad, so since we have an extra drasha, what does that extra drasha come to tell me? That yad serves as a conductor in both directions. Both into the food, and out as well. And now that we have the Yad Lahachnis Yad Lahotzi, and now I go back to the Drush of Shomer that we learned on the previous Amud. That's Tana Debe Rav Yishmael. So again, we go back to the argument the Gemara made previously. Once I know the concept of Yad being a conductor, both in and out, Shomer goes without saying, because again, I'll make the argument again. Yad is there only to facilitate the handling of the food, but it doesn't actually serve the food itself. And if a yad is a conductor in both directions, it goes without saying that a shomer is going to be a conductor in both directions because they're actually serving the food. Now that shomer is known and we have a drasha regarding shomer, what do we do with that extra drasha regarding shomer? The answer is mitzdareif. Ve'akati, the Gemara says, okay, but still, I'm going to keep pushing back. Yad de nevela itzarech. No. You made the argument that yad by nevela is unnecessary. The Gemara is going to argue, I think it's necessary. If I'm only learning yad from the combination of food and oven, I would say like this. Do you know when that food and oven transmits tumah to something else? What else can it be metame? Only other foods. But it cannot be metame adam v'kelim. I then would argue that the yad by nevela without the drasha would be limited to that the yad of a nevela can only be metame other foods, but it cannot serve as a conductor to be metame adam v'kelim. Dayo lavo min adin lios kinadon. If I'm learning it only through a kal v'chomer or binyanav, here, kind of interchangeable. But if I'm learning it through a limud, I can only learn from what the source is, and the source is only things that are metame foods, not metame adam v'kelim. Ela yad de nevela mitzrach tzarech. So now I have a tzrichusa, I have a necessity of the Torah teaching me yad by nevela, that it is able to conduct the tumah even to be metame adam v'kelim. Vishomer de nevela hu de lo tzarech. So, and the shomer of the nevela becomes unnecessary. Lamai hilchasa kasve, rachmana, elitz the roof amart lo mitzarech. Now, if it's for tziruf, as we already pointed out, there is no concept of tziruf as it relates to nevela. Ulahotzi kavachomer miyad ase. And as far as being a conductor, all again, if yad is a conductor, we've established that yad's a conductor, so then for sure a shomer is going to be conductor. So therefore, since it has nothing to teach me regarding shmira of a nevela, teneo in liyad de nevela. So now we're going to move it over to a yad. So then let it teach me the halacha of yad in general, which is yad lahatzi, yad lahotzi, yad lahachnis, vishom letzareif. So now what I've done, and admittedly, at this point in time, it's complex. But what I've done now at this point in time is that I was able to free up one drasha, that one drasha, using a series of imenos, meaning I can't apply it to its source halacha, I'm therefore apply it to a related halacha. I now am able to take the yad mentioned by nevela and apply it now to the idea that, in general, yad lahotzi, yad lahachnis, the conductor of yad is going in both directions. And so now, when I have a drasha of shomer, which now becomes totally unnecessary, what is it coming to teach me? The halacha of tziruf. We are almost done with the thread. Ve'ema, as we turn to the top of Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis. Ve'ema, imenu in l'shomer de nevela, teneu in l'shomer de alma, shomer lahachnes, shomer latzarif, ava yad lahachnes lo. So the Gemara is suggesting now, well, maybe the extra yad is teaching me a halacha not regarding yad, but specifically, shomer of a nevela. I'm sorry. Maybe the shmira mentioned is not, which can't be applied towards nevela. Maybe it's talking about shmira in general. Shomer lahachnis for shomer letzareif. Maybe the shmira can bring in the tumah. Maybe it could be mitzareif aval yad lahachnis lo. But maybe a yad to bring the tumah in, no. So ela miikara kiksivi yad ahachnas kiksivi. So the Gemara says, well, your starting point is off. Because when the Torah introduces yad, which direction was it going? It was not going outbound, but it was coming inbound, into the food. And as we pointed out earlier in the shiur today, the direction going in is a much harder direction. There is more resistance, right? Again, going to my electric analogy. There's more resistance going in than there is going out. And the original drasha of yad is to tell me that the tumah is actually there to go in. So, and now a shomer is concerned. So, what is it coming to teach me? It's coming to teach me halacha regarding nevela. Now again, there is no concept of being mitzarif regarding nevela. And we've already established that yad is machnas emotzi. And again, the argument is very strong. If yad is machnas emotzi and it doesn't serve the food, shomer for sure is going to be machnas miyotzi. So asya milsa de asya bekavachomer, tarif bekasav lakra. So the Gemara says, you're right. You're absolutely right. Meaning, the shomer by nevela becomes really extraneous. We would have deduced it all through a kavachomer. Why does the Torah write it out? Sometimes the Torah does this. Sometimes, even though things that it can be easily deduced, And I use the word easily loosely over here. But things that could have been easily deduced through a kavah chomer, sometimes the Torah likes to spell it out. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, what about the general idea of shmirah, of a shomer in general, meaning shomer regarding food? So the Gemara says, why don't we make the same argument, that the Torah is just simply spelling it out? So the Gemara says, hechadika lemidrash tashinan. The Gemara says, no. Because if there is a means in which we could darshan, so we would rather darshan rather than just simply say, tarch v'kasav lakra. Okay. Where do we stand at this point in time? We're wrapping it up for today. We introduced ourselves to the first Mishnah of the ninth parak of Chulin, Tumas Ochlin, and Tumas Nevela. Those are our topics. The Mishnah started off with 8 examples of what are the shomer for towards the food, and as such, as a shomer for a food, that's going to allow for conduction of tuma, machnis amotzi, and hitzdarfus as well. However, when it comes to a yad is only going to be a conductor of tuma in both directions, machnis amotzi, but it will not be mitzdarf. When it comes to a nevela, a hide of the nevela is not going to be viewed as a yad, and it's not going to be viewed as a shomer vis-a-vis hitzdarfus. Meaning, even though it's serving to protect the meat, nevertheless, it's not going to be mitzdarif. When it comes to tumas nevela, the meat and only the meat can become the source of tuma, and the hide can never be there to be mitzdarif. However, the hide of a nevela, although it's not going to be mitzdarif vis-a-vis a shomer, but nevertheless, if it allows for the handling of the meat, it can act as a conductor. Meaning the shomer of a nevela can behave like a yad, in that it can be conducting the tumah in and out of the nevela. Okay. That is a general summary of the daf.
Learning to do